Going to read some scripture together, some very well-known words. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. We're going to look at some verses a little bit further on in Luke chapter 2. And then I just want to speak briefly about those. Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 38 say this. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him, Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too. There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. So, in those words, we have various responses. We have Mary and Joseph's very traditional response. Their actions show that they were God-fearing parents who wanted to do the right thing for their son. When they brought the child to the priest for circumcision and dedication, they exactly followed all the instructions given in the law of Moses. In this ceremony of dedication, which is very similar to what we do in dedication, we are giving the child back to God. And in fact, in the Jewish understanding, they were symbolically redeeming In other words, they were buying back the life of their firstborn. You may remember in the Exodus story, the firstborn of the Israelite families had been saved by the sprinkling of blood around the doorposts. That's what saved, the Exodus story tells us, it's what saved the firstborn of the Israelite families. And so in this sense, as they brought their firstborn child, they were redeeming, they were buying back his life. It's notable as well that Mary and Joseph were poor. How poor they were is illustrated by the sacrifice they chose to make. The giving of two small doves or two pigeons was a special allowance for the poor to give. Usually you'd sacrifice a lamb, but if you couldn't afford that, you had this allowance to sacrifice doves or pigeons. The child also received his name at this ceremony. And the name Jesus actually means Savior. But actually, it was a very common name, or a fairly common name at the time. And there is another person that we read of, or the name is Bar-Jesus, and Bar means son of. So actually, there was somebody who was also quite unrelated to Jesus, who was called Bar-Jesus, son of Jesus. So the name Jesus wasn't an unusual name at the time. But of course, this name was fulfilled in Jesus' life in a unique way. So we have Mary and Joseph's traditional response to what they were told. Then we have Anna's prophetic response. I'm not actually going to refer to Simeon this morning, even though we read all that he had to say, and we could have another sermon just looking at what Simeon said. Imagine being told, I've just said I'm not going to talk about it, but just for a moment. Imagine being told by Simeon, Mary, a sword will pierce your heart. To be told that as a child is born. Anna's prophetic response. We know very little about Anna. We do know she was a widow, but had not allowed her difficult circumstances to make her depressed or bitter. Because we realize, we're told rather, that day and night she worshipped. She worshipped God. She fasted and she prayed. She was a devout woman. She'd lost her husband early on after just 7 years of marriage, but then had spent the rest of her life giving herself over to prayer to God. It's interesting that in Jewish history, by this stage, there had been no prophets in Israel for 400 years. No prophets. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees tried to explain why this was. But to be honest, they couldn't get to the bottom of it. Why? It seemed as though God had left his people. Why are there no prophets speaking to us, telling us God's word and God's will? And yet here, this is God breaking his silence, but doing so through an elderly woman. Now, women back in Jewish society, they had very little status. A woman couldn't give evidence in court because her word was of no value. The only thing of less value than a woman was an elderly woman. She really was the bottom of the heap. But God chose to speak through her. Interestingly, we don't have her words reported. We have Simeon's words in quite a lot of detail. We don't know the words that Anna spoke. But we do know some of the meaning. We have it paraphrased for us in these verses. So Anna had spent decades waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Remember, we looked at what redeem meant earlier on, buying back. So here was, she was praying for the redemption of Jerusalem, God buying back the lives of those who were his own. That was the sense that the Jewish people had, what redemption meant for them. When Anna saw Jesus, remember, she had this prophetic gift. She immediately knew he was significant. So immediately she saw him, she praised God for answered prayer. She had waited effectively her whole life for the Messiah to come. And now in her 84th year, her faith was finally being rewarded. Anna's prophetic response is a challenge to each one of us. What about our own personal response? As we give and receive gifts, of course, they are tokens of our love and our friendship as we give gifts. But as we do so, we're reminded to think about our attitudes towards other people. Well, similarly, as we think about God's gift of Jesus to us, we can reflect on how we respond to him. He came to give us not a life of drudgery or boredom or hopelessness, but we are told in John chapter 10, he came to give us life in all of its fullness. But to do that, even within the mundane and the ordinary of our lives. See, God can take the ordinary and make it special. He can take the ordinary and turn it into little jewels of beauty. And in fact, that's what life's about. If we're looking for life to be constantly exciting, I don't know about you, but sometimes Instagram. On Instagram, you can pull up what are called reels. And they're little sort of like snippets of like a video. And some of the ones I get are of these extreme sports people who will do all sorts of crazy things. You know, the one guy is on a motorbike and he's on a ski slope. And so he goes down a ski slope on his motorbike and then he flips over 3 times. And I thought to myself, I hope he's not hoping to land on that motorbike afterwards, but he doesn't. He then has a parachute attached to himself and a separate parachute attached to the motorbike wisely. Otherwise, it could have gone terribly wrong. Why you want to do that, I don't understand. But for me, life is not about trying to get things to be as exciting as they can be. Because in the end, you're never going to make life exciting enough to be fulfilling in that way. You have to find the jewels in the ordinary. We who put our faith and our hope in the same loving God experienced by Mary, Joseph, and Anna, and Simeon, we're invited to respond to Jesus with more than an affectionate nod at Christmas time. Rather, we're invited to open our lives, even the difficult, painful parts of our lives, to the Christ child who became the man Jesus, who died to bring our healing and restoration. And we do that this Christmas time and on into whatever 2022 should bring us. Amen.